I'm Margie Grass, and you are listening to the In the Garage podcast by CarParts.com. Today, I have a local to our Torrance headquarters at CarParts, Craig Paisley, who's the manager of World Motorsports. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
All right. So I know you specialize in European cars, a lot of Porsche, some Ferraris, Lamborghinis, but you didn't start that way. And
nope.
You were actually in New York.
So let's, yes, I was.
Start from the beginning. How'd you get out here?
So I'm from New York.
Yeah.
My dad was a mechanic.
There you go.
And he used to have this shop on Long Island. And next to it, when I was a kid, there was a shop that worked on Japanese cars. And this is probably like 84, 85, early on for Japanese performance. So I used to go there and hang out in the Japanese shop, and all these drug dealers from the Bronx would be there getting their cars done, and they'd be racing each other. And I'd just be like enamored with how crazy these guys were. So I got into Japanese cars early on in the game. And when I got out of college, that's where I got my start doing Japanese cars, probably 1990 maybe.
All right. Well, so that's really interesting. What'd your dad think about that? Because what was he working on?
Jaguars.
So
he was a British car mechanic, and next door was this Japanese performance car place.
Oh, that's so
and
interesting.
I got introduced to Japanese performance in the 80s, and I decided that's what I'm going to do. And I used to hang out at the street races in the early 90s, and I would tell all my friends, I'm going into business. I'm going to open my own business. They're like, what are you going to do? I'm like, I'm going to sell performance parts for Japanese cars. And they're all like, you're an idiot. So I started doing it, and it just was a crazy time because I started riding some wave of all of a sudden Japanese performance parts taking off, and I was in the right place at the right time, and I worked real hard, and it was a cutthroat business early on and made my ways, and we did real well with it.
That's awesome. What were you driving when you were in school and hanging out at the shop?
So I had an Eagle Talon.
Oh, wow.
So a brand new Eagle Talon, like 1991.
Nice.
And ended up getting lemon lawed, and they gave me all my money back, including the tax. And I used that to open my business. And then after that, I was driving a 76 Volvo station wagon because I couldn't afford a new car anymore. So
got to carry parts.
Yeah. Got to open the business. So I drove that. It was a hand-me-down for a while. And I was in a lot of, junk hand-me-downs for a few years. And then I could start afford to buy cars and built a race car and had all kinds of cool stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now, for the parts, like what did you see initially of what people were getting into? Was it your
Japanese car parts?
Uh-huh.
So I used to sell, there's this company Trust. It's now Gretti, but it used to be called Trust. So they came into the U.S. in New Jersey, and we all started buying it from them because we couldn't buy HKS because there was a distributor. So we hoard out the market with the Trust parts. We were all cutting each other's throats, selling stuff for cheap like idiots. We didn't know how to make money. And then I went to Japan for Tokyo Auto Salon. And then I went by HKS and I came back. I'm like, oh, I'm selling HKS. Mm. So when I got back, I made a shift for HKS. I became the distributor in the area and we ended up being the biggest distributor for HKS parts very quickly, probably within a year. And that's where we made our money selling parts.
That's fantastic.
But it wasn't like you guys. We didn't have the internet. You had to call us to talk to us on the phone to buy the part.
Well, so, you need to find the right part. It's not like today where you could just look up like, hey, I need this part for this car, and then a million people posted.
No, it was
that.
Very different. You had to, that's when we advertised in magazines, and we'd put our phone number out there to call us to get these parts, and that's how we did business then. And then the internet came and message forums, it started with that.
Mm.
I wasn't ready for that. I didn't grow up with a computer, So the message forums changed the game and changed, I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle a computer customer. So it took me a long time to learn that. I still don't think I know that.
Nobody does. Fine. Just put it on Amazon or whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's good. Well, it's good that you were around for the start, though, and really saw how it grew. What do you think kind of kicked off the trend? Because it did seem kind of random, even in the 90s.
For us back in New York, it was drag racing.
Oh, okay.
So import drag racing was pretty popular because the Puerto Ricans were doing it early on.
Mm.
So they had a big series in New Jersey called, it was Puerto Rico versus USA. It was a big race every year. And it just developed into a big culture down there. Mm. And then we would follow drag races on the West Coast called Battle of the Imports. And it was mostly Hondas and stuff. And on the East Coast, we were mostly rear-wheel drive cars, Toyotas and Mazdas. So in California, it was front-wheel drives, and the East Coast was rear-wheel drives. And it was just crazy how it all kicked off. I don't really know what was initially spurred it to become so big, But you would go to Englishtown to race there, and there'd be 35 to 40,000 fans in the stands to watch us drag race a Japanese car in the 90s. And then Fast and Furious happened, and it became another thing altogether. But these numbers I'm talking about are all before Fast and Furious came out. It was pretty big.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, do you think it was that the Japanese cars were more affordable and maybe more approachable versus, say, the European cars or Jaguars like that?
I've been asked this question, like, why I got into that when I remember answering it for people back then. Like, my mom had a Honda. So in the 70s, my mom had a Honda Civic or Prelude, early Prelude, like an 83 Prelude.
Prelude was cool.
Yeah, like Prelude. It, And I grew up in it. So, like, a lot of people grew up in American cars, but I grew up in Japanese cars. So my generation of getting older, we were comfortable around Japanese cars. So we were into it because, like, that's kind of what our parents started to drive because gas was expensive. You know, I remember when gas went from, like, I think it was like 30 cents when I was a child, you know, and up to 90 cents. That's a big jump.
Download the CarParts.com app and accelerate convenience with access to over 850,000 auto parts at your fingertips. We make it easier to find the parts you need anytime, anywhere. Get it now on the Apple App Store and Google Play.
So people, the Japanese cars became very popular and we all grew up around them.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's what I think. I don't know if it's true. But
I can see. Well, you know, and I just thought of that, you know, in terms of the affordability, because if you think of, like, I'm going to modify a Porsche, like you're working on now versus my mom's Prelude, which was super cool. I think that would have been awesome. Yeah. My dad always had Chryslers and what, the Oldsmobile Cutlass.
My dad would bring customers' cars home sometimes, like Jaguar E-Types, when he has to go pick the car up or delivering it, and he'd drive me to school in these cool cars. You know, it was pretty neat.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, so I grew up around cars, but we never had those cars. They were always like, I was just around them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, you're not allowed to touch them. No. Well, your mom's Honda, she probably could, you know, do some stuff too and won't get yelled at too bad.
Yeah.
So how'd you make the big transition? Because I know going from, you know, tuners and, you know, later on JDMs to, you know, Porsches and Lamborghinis and Ferraris, was that kind of a natural transition where...
I don't think so. It was just the change for chasing the money, maybe.
Oh, okay.
You know, the labor involved with European cars gets you more money than the labor involved with Japanese cars. So on Japanese cars, it's like you'd be lucky if you got $20 for an oil change, you know, or something like that. But on Porsches and European cars, they pay a lot more for those services. And they're very, very used to it.
Yeah, it's not even a question. You kind of know when you're buying it. It's a luxury, right?
Mm-hmm.
What do you prefer? How about that?
Japanese over a Porsche?
Uh-huh.
I mean, I prefer Porsche now. You know, it's, I guess, you know, it's just an amazing car. The Porsche is kind of like the Honda of European cars. You know?
That's a good...
It's going to start. You know, all the time.
Dependable.
It's super reliable, and it's really comfortable. It's a really great-looking car, great working car. The Germans build their cars thinking that they're not going to break down, and so you don't have to fix it, but it will break down. But they make it hard to get to the parts to fix. Hmm. The Japanese are really thoughtful on how they put the cars together. They're kind of easy to do everything.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So would you say for beginners, you know, before you kind of graduate to... To European cars?
Depends what your level of pain is.
Oh, okay.
You know, if you have a high level of pain, buy a Porsche and try to fix it yourself, like buy a beat up Porsche. But it could be agonizing to work on some of these complicated cars. I mean, I guess it's the same with anything, really. It's a lot, but a Honda and Toyota are definitely going to be much easier and cheaper.
Cheaper,
yeah. Yeah, much cheaper to work on.
Well, and honestly, you get, you know, how expensive is any car from the 2000s now? You know, if
I don't know. It's surprising because some of those cars from back in my day, they're really expensive now.
They are. Yeah. I've seen quite a few where I'm kind of like, well, now people are kind of expanding what they're willing to modify. Because before it was, you know, you had the big names, the Honda Civic or the Prelude or, you know.
I think people have a lot more money now.
Mm.
So a lot of people look back into their past of what they wanted to own, but they couldn't afford it then or they grew up with it. And now they can own one. And there's a very limited number of these cars because they're not making anymore. Mm. And a lot of them have crashed and they're gone. So the values of these, if you want some of those cars that you aspired to own, or now that you have money, it's going to cost you to own it.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a bummer.
Because
now you have money and you're like, oh, I'm going to build the best project car. And then you're like, it's still a ton of money.
I mean, a project car, if you want to build a project car, you can start at any budget and have a project if a project is what you're looking for.
Mm. Yeah. But the cool cars are the cool cars, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, people modify everything now these days,
yeah,
don't they?
Yeah, they kind of do.
So what do you like to modify? Or, you know, your shop, like what's...
We like Porsche to modify Porsches at a shop. And in Porsches, we modify modern Porsches. So we don't work on air-cooled Porsches.
Oh, okay.
We work on 911 water-cooled turbo Porsches.
Gotcha.
We don't do too many GT3s. Most of the cars that we do are 991 turbo, which is that 2014 to 2019 generation.
Nice.
And new ones, 992.
Mm. Oh, okay. So, and that was, did you kind of service a bunch of people and find out, like, this is where we're kind of, you know, hitting it?
We got partnered with someone that does a lot of Porsche part sales.
Oh, okay.
And he, our Porsche business developed around him. We started doing all his work.
Mm.
And it brought in a lot of cars. The cars come in from all over the country.
Oh, wow.
And keeps us busy.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So are you building for kind of whatever the customer wants, or do you guys specialize in
we
horsepower?
We build mostly horsepower packages. Okay, horsepower. So most of our customers are drag racers or half-mile racers. So drag racing is not as big as it was when I was younger. Now they do half-mile events on, like, airstrips and stuff like that. So these guys build the cars for that. And to perform at that type of event, you need a lot of horsepower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what else do you need, though? Because I know the horsepower is a big deal, but going, I mean, what are the top speeds when you're going a half mile?
So most people are hoping to achieve over 200 mile an hour in a half mile. That's going to take a lot of money. So to do that in a Porsche 911, you're going to need probably 1,200 horsepower minimum to hit 200 miles an hour. So it's going to take a lot to get there.
Mm.
But like, say, an 800 horsepower Porsche, like a 911, that'll be... maybe 170 mile an hour. Stock Porsche, maybe 160.
Oh, okay.
158.
Okay, so it doesn't. So how does it work in terms of the horsepower packages? Do you kind of look for, you go by the top speed you're looking for? Or?
No, I mean, it depends what the customer's looking for the car. Right. Like, we have customers that do that type of performance, like half mile events. But most of our guys are street cars.
Oh.
You know, so most of these cars, even though they go to the half mile events, they're street cars that they take out when
every
they go
day.
Running on the street. So that's what we probably basically build, the street cars.
Okay. Yeah. Now, what do those packages look like in terms of the difference between what you guys are doing?
Could start off, a lot of guys start off with just exhaust and a tune sometimes if you're looking for sound and a little performance. In our shop, mostly it's you get the exhaust, you get the tune, you get the intercooler, you get the big turbos, you get the intakes, you get tuning on our dyno, you get maybe an added meth injection or a water sprayer kit. There's a lot of stuff goes into it. And on the 991s, which are the older generation Porsche, for the last generation, those are usually engine down, built engines, intake manifolds, like big power stuff. Most of the cars that come into our shop are in that 1,000 horsepower range.
Is your engine living its best life? If you have a luxury sports or performance vehicle, the answer may be no. You need a premium oil engineered specifically for high output engines. That's where Liqui Moly comes in. Made in Germany with an innovative additive technology, Liqui Moly's synthetic motor oil provides outstanding wear resistance, temperature stability, and cleanliness. Give your high-end engine the high-end oil it deserves. Go to carparts.com/Liqui Moly to learn more and find the right oil for you.
Oh, that's still significant.
Yeah, very significant. Yeah, yeah.
Now, what does that look like in terms of the actual service? Do you guys kind of pull them in and you got it dialed down where it only takes a couple weeks? Or
yeah, so we don't take cars anymore till the parts are here.
Oh, okay.
Like, so that's, we stop doing that. We get the parts and, like, oh, not all the parts here yet. And some parts take longer to come than other parts. So once all the parts are here, we'll take the job in. We have all the specialized equipment to do these jobs so we can turn them around fast. And we like to turn cars around for big builds in our shop in 2 weeks.
Oh, 2 weeks, wow.
You know, and that's, unless it's getting the motor built, then there's downtime on waiting for the engine builder to build the motor.
Hmm. Yeah. That's really not bad, though. I mean,
no, that's what we attempt to do.
Yeah.
It doesn't always work out that way, you know? Like, I come by the shop, there's some that have been there for way longer than 2 weeks.
Even a mechanic saying maybe, I'd be like, oh, okay, there's a chance.
We try not to say maybe. We try to meet the customer's expectations. You know, like, a lot of people are disenchanted. Franchised with shops that promise things that don't actually come close to delivering them, and that will taint someone's taste for doing stuff on their cars.
Yeah, well,
that all sucks.
Well, you take that trust and you violate it one time, we're going to be like, wow, you said you were going to do that. It took 3 weeks instead of two.
Yeah, there's a lot of times I have customers call me and tell me what they're going to do. I'm like, oh, good luck with that. You know, it's like, it's not feasible, you know, and those jobs end up being in shops for years that they took them to, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, because one guy who doesn't know what he's doing or is unscrupulous with his, you know.
Anytime someone's trying to do something new and that hasn't been done before that has to be engineered, it takes time. You know, and a lot of these guys have these big ideas of what they're going to do to their car that's going to be so different than everyone else's. And, you know, that can be a
big project.
Terrible downhill battle. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. So I'm sure you prep them for, you know, here's your expectation and here's what it's going to take. And do you kind of walk them through it, or do you just go, here's the package?
Most of the time they know what the packages are. They know what they want. It's not a hard sale. No. Most of them already know exactly what they're looking for. There's only a couple shops in the country, maybe three or four shops in the country that really do this type of work. So there's plenty of business for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of take it or leave it.
Yeah.
No, that's a good place to be in, you know. Yeah. But, you know, as long as they know the expectation and, you know. But you can't beat the reputation. Like, if somebody says, like, here's where you take your Porsche, don't go anywhere else, you know, I'd be okay. Yeah. So have you had any crazy builds, like somebody who wanted that, like, insane, no budget, like, just, I need this to be 2,000 horsepower?
We definitely have. We've had some cars around the shop that were kind of like race cars.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Porsche on Motor Trend a while ago that pulled a big wheelie in a video and stuff, like, 4 years ago, 3 years ago. That was one of our customers, and we were just throwing all kinds of stuff at it, experimenting with it, and, like, it was a monster car with a lot of learning involved in it. You know, we went through a lot of stuff to get there. And we toned down everything we do now. It's a much safer thing, but we were pushing the limits of these cars very, very hard.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome to get the chance to do that because, you know, most people would be like, hey, well, let's
talk. It takes a special customer.
It does. Yeah. Somebody who's like, I have all the money and I don't care how ridiculous this is. Yeah. Just keep on going.
Yeah.
But what were some of the issues you ran into?
Breaking stuff. I mean, like, you break the factory intake manifold. Okay, we got to build a new intake manifold that's made out of aluminum now. So we do that. And then once we do that, like, oh, let's see how much more meth we can throw at this car, you know? And it's like such an improper way to do it. But we're just guzzling the engine's guzzling it, you know. We're totally overkilling. Like, what we learned was how much this motor can take. Like, it's amazing what a new Porsche can take in terms of throwing stuff at it.
Wow.
You know, without breaking. So it was a wake-up call. The Porsche motor is kind of like the supermotor of back in the day. You could just throw everything at a supermotor and it won't break.
That's awesome.
You know, it's kind of like the Porsche. I mean, they do break eventually, and when they do, they're expensive to fix. You know, but they're pretty impressive.
Now, how does it affect with, like, you know, how long you'll be able to drive the car? Like, if I upgrade my Porsche and give it 1,500 horsepower, like, what's it maintenance look like? And
I mean, that's a race car.
Yeah.
That's not a car you drive. Yeah. You know, it's a car you take out every now and then. But it's a car that lives in the shop. 1,500 horsepower car is married to someone that maintains it and builds it and all that stuff. 800 horsepower car is one that you can drive, and you're on the edge of having a problem with the connecting rods. That connecting rods problem is about 750, 775 pounds of torque, and then you have to build the motor. The minimum, you got to do the rods and pistons to get to that 1,000 horsepower level safely.
Gotcha. Yeah. And so I'm guessing people are, do you have people like that where you guys are just the shop and they bring their car back every couple of weeks or?
No, we don't like that. That's when you're married to a car. We have a couple customers we're married to, and it's a very bad business model.
Yeah, it's very time intensive and labor.
Yeah, and you can't charge that. And it's just like, want to get away from that. Like, we're in the business to make money and keep customers happy, you know?
Oh, so you got like a factory, like.
I wish we had a factory. It's not quite like a factory.
I mean, like, it's running like a factory.
We try to make it as efficient as possible with what we have, you know, and like maximize the job.
Awesome.
The profitability out of the job.
Well, it makes sense too. And I love package services where it's like, hey, you go here because these guys have done it 10,000 times and they don't even think about it. Yeah. You know, I used to have my shop was a tire barn for my tires in La Habra.
Okay.
And they were the same way where it's like, yeah, you just go there. 5 minutes later, you have new tires. good to go. Don't have to think. So I get it. Now, for those guys, though, what does it look like? You say you're not maintaining the vehicle, but I got 800 horsepower in my Porsche now. Like, what do you
recommend?
We're
not maintaining vehicles that need to be maintained every 2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
You know, we'll maintain your vehicles that come back for oil changes, coolant flushes, brakes, all that stuff. We'll do that maintenance along with the builds. But builds that require constantly in the shop, that we try and avoid. We don't want to be we did that once before, you know, back in the day. Like, no more of that.
J.C. Whitney is back. The original auto parts catalog, a garage staple and cultural cornerstone for over 100 years, is now a magazine. Whether you're a newcomer or a longtime gearhead, J.C. Whitney instills confidence by delivering expertly curated auto parts and a gateway to engaging community experiences, entertainment, resources, and inspiration. Learn more about the new J.C. Whitney at jcwhitney.com.
So for the regular guy Porsches, or regular guy that can afford an 800 horsepower Porsche, how often are they bringing it in? Is it just regular maintenance, 3,000 miles?
And repair. Okay. Like 800 horsepower Porsches always get more modifications when they break something, we'll upgrade a part or stuff like that. But we recommend them come in for oil changes at that level. Mm. Every 5,000 miles, do an oil change. Plugs are probably going to be done pretty often in a high horsepower Porsche. Okay. Like in a 997, coils don't last more than 12,000 miles when it's horsepower. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But they're cheap enough to change and maintain, you know? So there's just certain maintenance levels that need to change when you have more horsepower.
Yeah, you just have to...
But a well-maintained car should last a good long time.
Okay, so it's not going to significantly impact the longevity of the car?
No.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, that's their hesitation when making modifications. Like, I don't want to make all these things, and then...
I mean, there's a certain level to your modifications that are safe, and there's a certain level of modifications that put you on the edge, and then there's that level that puts you over the edge. Mm. And depending on what you want from your car, you'll do the modifications that work for you.
Well, and how you drive too, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. It's good to be in touch with your car when something's happening that you know that it's happening. Like you can tell, like your car feels different. Maybe I should not be doing this right now. Take it to the shop, you know, so.
Do you actually teach your clients some of that?
No.
No.
I don't know how to teach some of that. That's just something I learned. I honestly don't know.
No, it's like, okay, here's how to drive a, you know, car that has a ton of horsepower and you want it to last for any amount of time.
Yeah, I don't know how to teach that. No. You know?
Well, most of the time you're like, you're coming here because you want to drive.
I mean, you
got to
put in good gas, right? Yeah. So if you have a car built for race gas, you better use race gas, because if you put in pump gas, you're going to break the motor.
So, you know, with the Porsches, let's talk about just like, what do they look like currently? Like, what's the hot model for modding out?
The hot model for us is always the turbo version.
The turbo, okay.
So for us, it's 992 turbo. But 992 Carrera these days performs really well, and it's a turbo car too. It's just a smaller motor than the turbo. That business in the 992 chassis, the Carrera business, has been very good for us. So those guys generally didn't modify their car, but now you see those guys doing exhausts and tunes and intercoolers and all those types of things. So it's opened up the Porsche market to us, which is good.
Oh, that's awesome. Are there any changes with the models themselves, or is it pretty the same? I mean, Porsche has been the most consistent styling brand, I think, that exists.
For sure. I mean, it's the same style from the late 60s, right? So the 991 and 992, those two latest chassis, there's a lot of differences. It's a lot bigger than 992. The transmission's an 8-speed now. The old transmission was a 7-speed. They're both dual clutch. You know, it's a full digital dash now. Mm. It's like 992 turbo is like getting in a Mercedes S-Class. The seat's wide, there's plenty of room, but it handles really well. You feel the road really well. It does everything really, really well. What you don't feel is like the Porsche feeling, like on an older car. So an older Porsche gives you a different oral feeling, I guess.
Oh, okay.
And, not oral, oral AU. And, that feeling is you feel the road more. The new car
visceral feeling.
Yeah, visceral. Okay. My English is terrible today. Yeah. So the 992 soaks up the road and feels very luxurious, but the electronics and all the computers helping it make it handle really, really well and still feel like a luxury car.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So do you think have we lost some of that you know, feeling that you liked before, or is it kind of like,
yeah, because you had to drive the car.
You had it. Okay.
You don't really have to drive one of these modern cars so much. You kind of point it and it goes. The computer does a lot of the work for you.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's good for people, the amount of horsepower they're giving people nowadays, that they're helping them. Like, if you took all the helpers off of 992, like, turn the traction control off, like, off, not just turn the button off, but take it off and the ABS and turn all the helpers off. It won't be an easy car to drive.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those guys peeling out of the parking lot and crashing into a
It won't be so easy.
Well, it's awesome. Well, it sounds like you guys got a great business. Looks like you have a fantastic niche that, you know, like you said, there's only three shops like this.
Doing the high end. Like, Porsches are very easy to work on now, especially the new one. So a lot of shops are doing the modifications. But most shops don't go into the extreme modifications that we do.
Yeah. Well, even the fact that you guys do that, and even if I'm not doing it right now, I could eventually do it. Most people won't. But, you know, the way you think is like, oh, eventually I'll get to 2,000.
I mean, we'll try and convince everyone that they should. But
Really satisfied with this amount of horsepower?
You can't be. It's impossible.
Not if there's more available, right?
It's so easy, too.
It's so easy. Yeah. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much. I think giving some good insights into what it means to mod a Porsche, even selecting the right mechanic that maybe specializes in, like, you guys, horsepower versus...
Yeah, I mean, my suggestions for people are probably don't go to the stereo installer or the vinyl wrapper to get all your performance mods done. Go to a mechanic that works in cars, has the tools, all that stuff, you know, like, just be smart where you take your car. Like, don't take the wrap to the auto mechanic, take it to the wrap shop, you know? It's like, same type thing. It's amazing how many people call me that are working on these cars and what kind of shop it is that's doing this work. It's like, okay, it's interesting what people drop off their McLarens to these shops to do and all this stuff. It's like, okay.
You have tools.
Yeah, it's quite amazing.
Well, I think that's fantastic that there are shops like you that really, you know, have packages available that are, really being ethical about, hey, we're going to get all the parts first and not make promises that there's no way we could...
I learned from my mistakes.
It's not worth it. Well, it's not profitable to do it that way. Not at all. It only takes so long before you make everybody mad. Mm-hmm. It sounds like you got great business. I love the history that you actually kind of evolved from where you were growing up, and now you're working on cars that are still drag racing, which is cool.
Yeah.
Well, and where can people learn more about you?
We have a website, world-motorsports.com, and we have Instagram is World Motorsports.
Awesome. Well, I'll probably be stopping by your shop soon. Perfect. To, check out what you got and interview again about the shop itself. Right, cool. So look forward to that.
Nice.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. This has been the In the Garage podcast by CarParts.com. Tune back in for more tips on your cars, on the lifestyle of the automotive world, and everything else that has to do with driving.